Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Friends, today is a Tell Del story, and as usual, I try to bring up as many different examples of individuals and families and what they've accomplished in the real estate investing world, and today is no different. This is one, though, that's on the far other extreme. This is an individual that has made a lot of money doing this, and the story's exciting. I'm going to share it with you, but I want you to understand that this is some massive stuff here. I was reading just in some of his notes that he sent me, pre-show notes, that his portfolio went from $1 million to $7.5 million since he started at Lifestyles Unlimited. And the rates of return are unbelievable. The total portfolio net worth is mind-boggling. 7,000. He's been 52 multifamily deals. 11 have been sold. Currently 41 deals left of 7,000 units totaling a value of $500 million. This is not your Dave Del Dotto, Robert Allen, Jeff McCone, Tommy Vu, Mylands, Ron the Grand, Carlton Cheese, Robert Kiyosaki, Donald Trump, multifaceted, something for nothing, midnight madness, seminar guru ideas type real estate investing. This is real stuff. So welcome to the show today, Mr. James Tomerlin. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Del, and thank you for starting your organization and helping me to achieve my goals and live my lifestyle.
Well, let's try to pick the people out there that are like you. You know, I always tell people as you come on the show that you're probably only like 10% of the other people out there, but that 10% would rather hear about somebody just like themselves than about the other 90. So your story is as important as anybody else's, although it is on the upper edge of the 10%, I would probably suggest. So let's talk about where James started out at. You and the wife both had jobs. You and the wife both successful in business, or not business, but had educational backgrounds that allowed you to get good jobs. Start at that point and tell us how you and the wife decided you wanted to do something different.
Well, Dale, as you mentioned, we both had professional careers, and we followed the standard rule. We saved money and invested in the stock market. And, you know, I was making 5 or 10% return on average until 2008 and 2009, and then I lost a third of my wealth. It just disappeared when the stock market crashed. I knew there was something better, and I've always heard that real estate was the source of wealth for more millionaires than anything else. So I wanted to give that a try, but I was afraid to give up my regular income and my wife. So we joined, and I was so surprised to hear that we could participate in real estate investing as a passive partner, where I didn't have to collect rents, I didn't have to advertise, I didn't have to evict people or go find properties or anything else. All I had to do was join in a group that of experienced, highly professional people that were finding properties, turning them around, fixing them up, increasing the income, and just making a lot of money on these properties. So we started off trying our first one, and actually tried, I think I invested in 3 or 4 the first year that I was involved through Lifestyles Unlimited. Within a couple of years, I could see the results were just fantastic. And so ever since then, I've completely stopped investing by myself in the stock market, and everything, all of my profits have gone back into more real estate. Whenever I had extra money from my wages that I was saving and my wife's income, we put that into the real estate, and it has just increased exponentially our net worth so I could retire when I'm 62. The method with the stock market, I think I was probably would not have been able to retire, certainly not at my level, I couldn't retire until I was 65 or 67 or something, if at all.
There's always that risk, James, that it might have taken another hickey, you know?
And I am aware of people that have taken other routes in real estate, buy and hold single-family rental properties, or individual owners of smaller apartment complexes as a start, who have done, I think, way better than me. I was too afraid at first to jump in with both feet and take the risk. So this was perfect for me.
Well, you know, I've done all three of them, and I'm now doing passive investing myself. I also have some IRO stuff too, but the interesting point is, if I put this thing on the board all the time and talk about it, you're either dependent, independent, or interdependent. And, you know, a lot of us didn't have the kind of money you had, James, to start with. So we started from dependent job positions to independent, which was just owning our own single-family rental houses and whatever. But the ultimate goal was always to get to the far other end, to own businesses, to own pieces of businesses or all of the business, and to not have to go to work. And you went right to the right spot in the very beginning. And, you know, it's paid you well as far as dividends and getting into doing that. Let's talk about, how'd you hear about Lifestyles?
My wife and I have discussed this, and she can't remember whether we neither one of us can remember who told who first, but we had both been looking for some avenue to invest in real estate, some educational methods, and somehow we came across it. To be honest, I can't remember what my first information was about Lifestyles. But as soon as we found out, of course, we went to a free seminar, and we were just blown away. And then we signed up and went to your two-day class, and that just really opened our eyes and joined immediately. And after that, it's just been a fun ride for the last 11 years, 10 or 11 years.
So when you went to the two-day, I know that's a long time back, the question I have is, do you remember what the aha moments were for you and or the wife?
It was the way the five methods of earning money in real estate and the multiplier formula when you have leveraged property and you increase your revenues or you decrease your expenses by just a tiny amount. And that increases the value of the property by a tremendous amount. And that money comes back out, and you've made a huge return. And the other thing was that this isn't just on a piece of paper. This is a brick and mortar and dirt and people business. So the chances where it will just, you'll wake up and it's just disappeared because herd mentality decided it was no good. I'm talking about the stock market. That just doesn't happen in real estate. Your real estate will always, always have value. It doesn't go to zero. And that was another factor that was just made me feel so safe to invest. And also when you meet the quality of people who are doing this already, that are educated, who have done it before, You're following in their footsteps. They're leading you by the hand. It just seemed like I couldn't go wrong. I know that was a little bit over optimistic to begin with, but I've never lost a nickel in any real estate deal that I've been involved with through the people that I've met through Lifestyles.
Well, that's a good testament for doing it. Then we're going to take a short break, James. Then we'll be right back. Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Wamsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now, here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is James Tomlin, and James is out of the really Cypress area, I believe, northern Houston area, and he has been doing this for quite a few years now, and he's been very successful. He's been a past investor. I love this quote here. This is the one kind of, if you're just tuning in, sets it off. It says, my portfolio values increased from $1 million in 2012 to $7.5 million today. What does that mean? That means he's a part owner in, if I can find this here, just amazing amount, part owner in right now, 41 passive multifamily deals, has already sold 11 of them, and the property value of those 41 is $500 million. Welcome back, James. Let's talk now about, you came out of the two-day and the wife, and you decided the passive was the right thing for you. Tell us why the passive was the right approach.
We had a pretty good income between us. Our free capital was already invested in the stock market. We didn't want to just take all of our cash and live on that money while we were trying to do single family houses or something else that would take all of our time. We just felt like we didn't have the time to be direct ownership and operators of the real estate rentals. I know people do that all the time. They start off small or even medium and are very successful, but again, I was just too afraid to take a full-time job of doing that compared to the earnings that I was already making.
Okay, so you decided that, and as you and the wife decided to stick your toe in the water, how did you decide who the first person or which is the first deal to invest with?
Well, we met a lot of fine people at Lifestyles, people who were leading investments in apartment complexes, and we're looking for passive investors. So we started off by looking at who had a good history, which of the leads had a good history of already having done this and operated it and made money for the partners. So using that method, we found two or three to start with and dipped our toe in the water, put some money into the deals, and then waited and watched them grow. And of course, Dale, I also like to mention that I wasn't wealthy to start with when we started doing this. One of the things that helped me a lot was that I was able to convert my IRA to self-directed, and half of the money that we invested in real estate was from our IRAs. Instead of, it wasn't just cash in our pocket or in the bank, and that has helped tremendously.
Is it still in your IRAs?
Yes. I still have, I think I have 11 properties that are invested through my IRAs.
So you're letting that money just grow then?
That's right.
All right. Now, you said you're retired. So you said you're retired at 61, 62, something like that. The reality is somewhere around 70, 71, 70 and a half, I believe. You have to start taking some of that money out. Have you looked into that yet?
I'm not too concerned about it. I'm at a point now where with 41 properties and the average investment period is somewhere around 7 years. You could probably help me on that, Dale. But if one-seventh of my properties were to liquidate every 7 years, then that's a whole lot of money coming in to take care of taxes or forced distributions.
Okay. Let's move on to the next step here. The first couple of deals you picked out because you knew the leads or liked the leads. So now that you've got a lot of experience here, let's talk about a couple of different things. Looks like we're coming up on a break, so I don't want to get too deep into two or three questions, but this question is probably a three-layer question. I'll lay the layers out so that we know where we're going, but we won't be able to get to them this segment. Okay, so the first layer is, what do we put more weight on? Is there more weight on the lead or the deal, the type of deal? Next one, is location mean anything? Next one, is diversification important? Is diversification between leads important? Is diversification between locations, cities, states now different? So you have different financial situations that could go awry and or legal situations to real estate laws that could change are different in every state. So we want to just kind of get your massive experience with, this massive portfolio, and since 2012, you've made decision after decision to sell, reinvest, save more, reinvest, and you've had a chance to perfect your palette of decisions from all that experience. And as we take a break here in the next 30 seconds, when we come back, that's what I'm going to be digging for, is to kind of get into your mind there and mine some ideas for some of these other people out there, because you've had massive success. And I mean, we haven't even talked about the rates of return on your deals yet. I don't know if we'll get, I'd rather talk more about how you picked your investments and your theory behind investing. We'll get to the rates later. So we'll take a short break. We'll be right back with James Tomberlin and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
The Del Walmsley Radio Show, here with me today on Tell Del is James Tomberlin out of Cypress, Texas. James has taken his portfolio in 2012 from $1 million to $7.5 million. Has done 52 different deals, sold 11 of them, and still owns 41 different deals, 7,000 total units, and current portfolio value, $500 million. Welcome back, James. Let's start with, when you first started, did you have a plan on how you were going to distribute your money, broken down into two categories, value play deals or yield deals?
I've always leaned toward the yield play, because if a property is already producing income, or if it's projected to be throwing off some cash, even straight from the beginning, then I saw that as the bottom. I thought the risk was lower, and there's always room for growth. You can upscale your units, or you can alter your expenses, or you can increase rents, reposition the property. I always thought there was a better way to go. It's not one or the other, though, as you know. It's almost always a combination of the value, where you're taking something that's really horrible and rebuilding it into something good, rather than something that's already good and you're just going to take the income from it. So there's always some work to do. And all the deals that I invest with, and your philosophy, as I've been taught, is we're not in the slumlord business. We fix our properties up and make a nice home for many, many, many families. But I always thought that if it was already making some money to throw off, then that would reduce my risk.
And even though you've chosen that approach, which is to go for the yield play deals, you still had 11 properties that sold, and you still had X number, I didn't get the number, that refinanced, right? You said it in here somewhere. You had a bunch of them, 14 deals. That's bought and sold. I can't find it on here. But you've had refinances also, correct?
Almost every one that's older than 2 years has had a refinance. Maybe not every one, but say out of 52 deals, 35 refinances over the 11 years.
Wow, that's incredible. That is incredible. So, what you're saying is the truth of the conversation is most deals are hybrids.
Right. Lean one way or they lean the other way.
Gotcha. All right. So that's all positive. Let's tie that into some rate of returns, because I noticed that you said that your average rate of return was 16% unless you take out the stuff you just bought. And of course, the stuff you just bought hasn't started to produce yet. So if you take that out, you're saying about 30% rate of return. Does that account for cash flow, or does that account for cash flow and either sale or refinance?
The way I calculate my rate of return is cash distributions from operations, refi cash, sale cash, but I also include change in value of the equity. So let's just say if you have $1 million property and the value goes up to $1.5 million, they don't just give you $500,000 back. It's still in the property. But I count that as part of my returns. That's ownership that will come back out eventually in a sale.
Right.
Or after another refinance. I've had at least two that have had more than one refinance on the same property. And, that, of course, that's one of my favorite things.
So the way you're calculating the rate of returns are more, they're more akin to an internal rate of return than just a cash-on-cash return, because you're sticking the sales and refinances in there with it. So you were saying that's an average of about 30% a year. Boy, that's getting rich. That's tripling, doubling your money every 3 years or so, right?
Pretty close. I think I'm more closer to like 25% IRR on the ones that have already sold, the 11 that I sold over the period of time.
Gotcha.
And I calculate my returns in many different ways. But my average cash rate, see, I've got an 18% return rate, including equity on the ones that I still own. And the average cash rate is 9%.
Okay. So
9%, where you can't get that in a CD or there's no company that pays dividends of 9%. You just can't get that.
I was looking at CDs yesterday or the day before, and, you know, savings interest rates have dropped from 2.5% all the way down to just a little under 1% now, and you still get some ones here and there. But CDs are only one. What does that tell you? That tells you they foresee interest rates going down. In other words, if you can get a savings account interest rate higher than a locked-in interest rate, that tells you they believe interest rates are going lower. So, no, there's no way you're going to end up, you know, a 7, 8, 9, 10% rate of return. And when you add in all the rest of them and get it up to 30, then it's really unbelievable. Let's talk next about diversification. Let's talk about lead investors. And by the way, for those of you who are calling in or listening for the first time, a lead investor is a term I came up with that means you're a lifestyles investor and that you're the syndicator of the deal, but you're following the Lifestyles Unlimited rules. And we won't go into that right now. But the bottom line is that they have to do it within a way that we deem to be fair to the past. Okay, so we look at this. You've got all these different lead investors to choose from. Do you believe in diversification, and how do you follow your rules in that?
Well, you know, I sure do. I've had 52 deals. That's diversification right there. So not all your money in one deal. Even when I started, I had an investable amount, and I spread it out over several deals. And each of those deals had a different lead investor partner, but I investigated the lead investors, and every one of them had a good education, had a successful business history, and had already invested in real estate themselves, and they were investing in the current deal themselves. They had skin in the game.
And let's talk then about diversification of location then. How did you look at that form of diversification?
Oh, for the longest time, everything was in Harris County, Houston or Harris County. And then actually one of my first ones was in San Antonio. But there weren't as many people, lead partners, who wanted to buy property in San Antonio because I just didn't meet them. They were from Houston, and they didn't want to drive back and forth. But that's all changed now. So I think now I've got one in Huntsville, one in San Antonio, one in Del Rio, one in Cincinnati, Ohio, one in Chattanooga, Tennessee, several others outside of Harris County. And then most of the ones that I have had for a few years are still Harris County. They just haven't sold. If they sell, I'll go buy another one somewhere else. But I did buy one recently in Houston. So I'm liking to try to get more outside of Harris County and Houston, primarily because the liberal politicians want to keep jacking the tax rates up. You know, I feel like if you know where you're going, what's going to happen to you in another location? In other words, is it business friendly? Is it a growing market, or is there a good demand for the property? Is the property a good value compared to relative to the market? Have you got a good operator in that market? I see it just as profitable and safe as being in Houston.
Gotcha.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to take a short break again here. We'll be back one more segment with James and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Friends, how many of you out there right now believe you have a plan? I followed the conventional plan for years, and then the conventional plan blew up in my face. I wonder how many of you can relate to that exact same thing. The real question is, how many of you have actually figured out how to turn that thing around and make it happen?
Do you have a plan? Lifestyles Unlimited has one for you. It's worked for countless others. Retire in 5 years or less. Come learn more. Join us for our live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now, here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Walmsley Radio Show with me here today is James Tomberlin out of Cypress, Texas. And James has taken a portfolio, 2012, invested in real estate, taken his portfolio from $1 million to $7.5 million in value. It's in 41 different deals worth about $500 million total value of the real estate, and that's about 7,000 units in. James, as we come to the last segment here, let's change directions and let's talk about you for a second now. Finish your personal resume as to how long you were in this before you decided and how you decided that the wife could take off and retire, and then how hard was it for you to let your big income go and retire, and what it's like now being retired. Go ahead and pick that conversation up for us in the last 7 minutes here.
I retired about 2.5 years ago. And my wife retired about two years before that. So she retired, I think, in 2016. It wasn't too much of a hard decision because, well, for one thing, I was making more than her. So we weren't giving up the majority or even half of our combined income. But the fact is that since I started investing with $500,000 in 2009, as of 2015, my real estate income was exceeding my wife and I's work income. So I just kept working because why not combine both of them and then buy more real estate and invest even more for a better retirement later.
Well, that's an obvious answer if you're not at the point in your life where your job is driving you crazy. So you obviously were comfortable continuing your job. What was the trigger? I mean, did you have a plan and, hey, honey, we hit the dart and target and we're there? Or is there a trigger that said, okay, this is it, I think I'm done? You know, how did you know?
Well, when my wife wanted to retire so that she could help keep grandbabies, and I was jealous of that. And I had been working about 10 years longer than her in my career, so I thought it wasn't fair to start with. And then I was envious because she got to spend more time with the grandbabies. And then in 2016, I got laid off because there was a drop in the oil business, and I worked for an energy-related company. And so I think I was out of work for a few months, and I finally got another job for about a year. And I just got tired of the up and downs of my industry. So, again, I already knew that there was plenty of money to live on. It was already exceeded our wage income. Our real estate income was greater, so I knew that we wouldn't be hungry. In fact, we were going to start living a better lifestyle. And we don't spend everything that comes in from real estate. We still reinvest, and it keeps growing. And that means every year we've got more that we can spend, more that we can do. We're traveling the world. We give money away to charities. We help our children. We just are really enjoying our life.
Yeah, you were talking about it in your notes that you traveled quite a bit. I mean, how do you take care of grandbabies and travel six times? Out of the country, all over the world. You taking the grandbabies with you? Or?
Well, not yet, but you know, we have children that take care of those babies. They're children. Yeah, but when we're home and not on vacation, we like to spend as much time as we can with them.
You know, I was told one time about being a grandparent was a lot better than being a parent, because you can come over, you can spoil them, you can play with them, and then you can leave them behind.
That's true.
So I don't know. I mean, that probably sounds pretty hypocritical, but, you know, it is the best of both worlds. You know, you can get away with all the fun stuff, be the Santa Claus and, you know, not the discipliner type deal.
But after you've been a parent, you've paid your dues.
Yeah, I guess so. That's the way it works, huh?
That's the way it works.
Trickle-down responsibility. It sounds like a governmental program, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so everything's going good now. You're traveling the world. What is the future? What more do you want to stamp on this earth, leave behind for your name and your family?
I want to make sure that all this is set up to go, after I'm gone, to keep my wife and my children and my grandchildren, to have a better life for them. And if I'm just not able to do the traveling as much as, you know, as much as I like, or other activities, then I'll start spending more time doing volunteer work that I don't need the money to work, so I can spend my time helping other people.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate you coming on the radio and sharing your story with us. It's a great story. First started, did you ever believe it'd go this far?
I had no idea that it would go to here. You know, starting with about $500,000, mostly from an IRA account, and in 11 years to have it grow to, you know, over $7 million, that's 1,400% growth in 11 years. Of course, that's more, some of that's from our savings, that from our wages that we kept contributing, but it's just been tremendous.
Yeah, it's a great story. I really appreciate you sharing it with everybody. A lot of people would never share that story, that they'd want to keep that to themselves, but I appreciate you doing that. For the rest of you out there, think about this for a second. What James said was a very interesting point. He made one point at the very beginning. He said, Dell, I was not a wealthy person. Now, that's having said that, he had $500,000 in IRAs, 401ks, and savings, and yet he wasn't. Why wasn't he? Because he didn't have access to any of that money, and that money wasn't making him money. It wasn't even like it was his. And now, that $7.5 million is his. And what does he do with it? It's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Dell Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Dell Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Dell Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Dell Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Dell Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Dell Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.